Good morning. It's good to see each one here, and welcome to our visitors as well. So my wife was busy this week, and we have candy pecans for everybody. So after the church, when you come through the line, we can give you some of those. You can open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. I've been blessed so far with the service, Gerald's devotional this morning, and then what Terrell shared. What he opened the service with is what I was going to open my message with. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." His name shall be called Wonderful, and we are full of wonder. And I would like to speak, I guess, about the wonder of Christmas this morning, the wonder of Christ. And part of my inspiration, I guess, for this message is a song that the Mylan Hayes family sings. It's called Full of Wonder, and part of it goes like this. His name is Wonderful, and we are full of wonder. We're amazed by the story how the King of all glory would leave his throne in heaven, exchange it for a manger. What a miracle. Oh, what a Savior. We are full of wonder. And I'd like to just consider that wonder this morning. But why is it such a wonder? Why would his name be called Wonderful? I think to understand that, we need to look back, and all the way back, to the beginning, to the start. So Gerald read in John chapter 1 that Jesus was there when the world was created. Nothing was made without him. In him is life, and the life is the light of man. So Jesus was there when God created the heavens and the earth, when he spoke and created the land and the sea, when he created the animals, the fish, the plants and trees. And then on the sixth day, we all know the story about how God created man, and he said that everything he created was very good. I want to start reading in chapter 2, verse 4. "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hittical. That is it which goeth towards the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." So we see here a God that was deeply caring, and he built a paradise, a beautiful place with rivers and trees. It was a garden that was wonderful. And you read it, and every animal, and I believe man too, was supposed to just eat the fruit of the trees and plants, things like that. So the lion didn't hunt. The bear was friendly. There was no thorns, no weeds. There was no reason to break a sweat. And Adam had a wife, and they lived together in complete harmony. No sin, no shame, and they even walked and talked with God in the day. But we know what happened. Satan came and convinced Eve to rebel against God. And she listened, she did. And she convinced Adam, and they sinned, and their eyes were open to evil. So sin came, and shame. They tried to cover themselves with leaves, and they hid from God. They were put out of the Garden of Eden, and they had to till the ground. But not before God promised a Redeemer. So let's go into chapter 3, starting at verse 14. "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." So life was much harder for them, and they had to work. By the sweat of their brow, they planted and harvested their food. And sin seemed to grow. It wasn't long before they had sons born, and their son killed his brother. Cain killed Abel, and he was the first murderer, but certainly not the last. And we know the story that man got so wicked that it says that all their thoughts were continually evil, and God destroyed them through the flood. And only when the flood came, when the water came upon the earth, there was only one righteous man on earth and his family, Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. And they were saved, but they also had sin dwelling in them. And when they got off the ark, Noah got drunk, and one of his sons abused him. Sin continued. Tower of Babel, God confused their languages. But we see God starting to reach out to man. So he chose Abraham and made from him and Sarah a people, a nation. And he gave them the law. He was their God. And he led them. He continued giving his promise of a redeemer, someone to free them from sin. And time went on. The Israelites sinned over and over. Even their best people fell into sin. They had this pattern. They would sin, and God would bring punishment, suffering, and they would cry out to God, and God would deliver them with a mighty deliverance. and they would be good for a while, and then they would just go right back into it. They couldn't get free from the bondage of sin. And it got so bad that God sent the Babylonians, who destroyed Jerusalem and took them into captivity for 70 years. And at the end of that, he restored them. They were able to go back to their land and rebuild Jerusalem, but they still struggled with sin. And I guess the question is, why would God even care about this people anymore? They were so wicked. Why wouldn't he just destroy the earth and start over, which God had done previously? But I think that's the wonder of Christmas. The Bible says that God hates sin, and he hates those that practice sin. And we see throughout history how God poured out his wrath on those that rebelled. When the children of Israel were traveling to the promised land, the ground opened and swallowed the sinners, and fire burned in the camp and burned up some sinners. They had serpents in the camp that bit and killed the sinners. But that anger with sin is not the only emotion that God has. He also has deep love for the world. And I believe that he loves each person that he's created. And he longs for them to come to him. And we see his love in creation, about like how he made just an oasis, just a place of rest. It was a place of, it was paradise. It was wonderful. And we see his love through that. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And we are full of the wonder of that he would do that. So God sent his only Son into the world, his beloved Son, whom he loved dearly. Jesus Christ came as a baby to redeem us from sin. He came in humility, in weakness, as a baby, born in a stable, placed in a manger because there was no room in the inn. Some shepherds came to worship, but most of the people in the world had no idea. There was a star that some wise men followed, but they were the only ones that knew what it meant. Herod tried to kill him, and Jesus lived as a fugitive the first few years of his life. Then Jesus grew up and began his ministry, and he turned the water into wine. He healed the sick, cleansed the lepers. He made the blind to see, and he opened the mouths of those who could not speak. He even raised several people from the dead, and we are full of wonder at that. How is that possible? Now I want you to turn to John chapter 8. I really like this chapter. I want to pull several things out of this chapter. So John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went up into the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" I'll stop there for a moment here. But I want you to notice something and really think about this story. So the Pharisees had caught this woman in the very act of adultery, and the law commanded her to be stoned, which I don't think the Romans would have allowed. If they would have had a stoning, I think the Romans would have been they would have been in trouble with the Romans. So this was kind of a trap for Jesus. If Jesus said, don't stone her, then he was breaking the law. But if he said, do stone her, then he was going to be in trouble with the Romans. So I think the Pharisees thought that they had him here. What was he going to say? And Jesus said that whoever is sin-free, they can do the stoning. They can start it. And obviously none of us are sin-free. And so all the accusers left. And it was just Jesus and the woman standing there. And it was, I believe, it was still in front of this crowd of people that Jesus was teaching. And I want you to picture this. Here is a woman who had committed adultery, which God hates. And I want you to imagine what Jesus was standing there feeling as he looked at this woman. You know, our sin affects those around us, but it mostly affects God. In Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, it says, I tell you, my friends, this is Jesus speaking, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Peter said that in Christ dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead. And so we think about, you know, we see the separation maybe, the difference between God the Father and God the Son. But in Jesus, like, they're separate, but they're one. And so in Jesus dwelt all the authority and all the power of God. And I suppose this woman was terrified. And imagine how that would be to stand before God with sin. And, you know, he who is without sin cast the first stone, and here is the one without sin who can cast her into hell. And I want you to feel that. Feel the terror of that. And I suppose Jesus was full of emotion, you know, hate for the sin and sorrow for the waste, and vengeful for what she had done to the others involved. But he was also filled with love and compassion for this woman that he had created. He didn't want to send her to hell. He wanted her to repent and come to him. He wanted her to forsake her sin. And the goodness of God was on display here. How is God going to handle this situation? And this is the wonder of Christmas. This is why God sent his only son into the world. Verse 11, she said, no man, Lord, no man has condemned her. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Isn't that a wonder? Neither does he condemn. And the reason he could say that is because he knew he was going to give his life for her sin. He was going to take her place. What a wonder. Verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. I know that's a long reading there, but I think it's interesting. So this chapter started with a question of whether or not to stone the sinner, and it ended with them picking up stones to stone the Son of God. That is fascinating. These people were full of evil. Jesus said that they were children of the devil, and that they were going to hell. But These were the people that Jesus came to save. I want you to think about that. And you know, we tend to be like them. And every time we sin, it's like we cast stones at Jesus. And in this chapter, I like it because we can see the great sinfulness of the woman and the rest of the people. But we see the patience and the attempt of Jesus to reach them. We see the love of God, the forgiveness, and the command to go and sin no more. His name is wonderful, and we are full of wonder. We're amazed by the story how the King of all glory would leave his throne in heaven, exchange it for a manger. What a miracle. Oh, what a Savior. We are full of wonder. And then Jesus was arrested, sentenced to death by the very people he came to save. The Jewish leaders turned him over to the Romans, and the Romans would have let him go, but they insisted on his death, and the Romans crucified him. But that was part of God's plan, that Jesus would suffer and die, the innocent in place of the guilty. This happened so that Jesus could tell that woman who was caught in adultery that she was forgiven and to go and sin no more. And then God raised Jesus from the dead. He raised him up higher than anyone or anything, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. He will reign forever. And after the resurrection, Jesus was received back up to heaven. And now we live by our faith in him. What a wonder. We believe that he's forgiven our sin. We believe his promise of heaven and a place in his kingdom. We grow and change because we want to be like him. And we want to reflect, take the love that he's given us and give it to our spouse, give it to our children, give it to the rest of the church, give it to the world. His name is wonderful. Now I want to go back through this chapter 8, and I'm going to just pull out a couple verses that Jesus said. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, and I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Isn't that neat? Like, you take away all the, just condense it down to what Jesus said, and it's a beautiful, beautiful chapter. His name is wonderful. So I hope this Christmas that you are full of gratitude. He did so much for us. He took the punishment of our sin and offered forgiveness. And I hope that you're full of worship. Praise the Lord for his gift. I hope a song is on your lips, joy in your heart. And I hope that you share the gift with others. Point others to the wonder of Christmas. And I want to close here with the verse that I opened with. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you so much for the gift that you gave us. Thank you for your Son who came and taught the truth and who loved the people that he came to save. Thank you for his example. Thank you for all his teaching and how that he sacrificed himself, his body on the cross for our sin. Thank you, Lord, for that gift. Thank you for showing us where we need you. We don't deserve it, Lord, but thank you for your love, the powerful love that made a way for us to be reconciled to you. Your love that corrects us, your love that rejoices over us, your love that walks each day with us, your love that draws us near, and I suppose that wonderful is a good name for you. I just thank you, Lord, for everything that you do for us. We love you, Lord. We want to serve you. And yeah, I just pray that you would be with each one that's here this morning through this Christmas season, that we would not lose the wonder that's in your name, the wonder that you came and saved us. In your name I pray, amen.